Well, Father, we do just thank you for your greatness. We thank you that your wind is always blowing and your fire is always falling. I pray that we would start posturing ourselves to be in that place. Because you're always moving, you're always speaking, you're always blessing. So let us posture in the place of victory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you just love the worship? Don't you just love the way Wendy Kay and Andrew minister? Gosh, man, I figured you'd get a better round of applause than that, man. There's only two. Wow. Man, I thought we was all about honor. I know it's about him, but it's like Bill Johnson said, just receive the thank you, okay? We all know it's all about him. There you go, there you go. Just had to harass you, Wendy Kay. It's my greatest anointing is the gift of harassment. I have no problem with that. I love the gift of harassment. It's a very anointed gift. Yeah. You know, Robin Leach had a series once. Can anybody tell me what the series was? Say that again. Can you say it? Okay. Slow down. No ADD. Just slowly. Very good. The Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous. I mean, it's a big show. I used to watch it, you know, and go, wow, I'd either lust after it or I'd be angry that they had something I didn't, you know, back in my unredeemed days. But I was thinking of that this last week because it's interesting. I heard Robin Leach on a couple of different shows that reminded me of that show that he had. And I started thinking about the lifestyle of walking with the one that's rich and famous. I want to say it again because I've really been praying that we would all get this message today. Because you see, I don't need to be consumed with what some of the people in Hollywood make or anything of that nature. See, you and I have the honor and privilege to have a lifestyle of walking with the one that's rich and famous. And if you will, take your Bibles and let's turn to John chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 43. Because I believe God wants to correct some wrong thinking in us. It's like the scales falling off that Wendy Kay and Andrew ministered in. We're blind in some areas. As you turn there, and then before I pray, how many, and let's be honest, and we're going to do this the right way. We're going to be bold. How many of us really believe that the enemy has greater power to bring havoc to your life than God to bless you? Raise your hand. Come on, let's be honest. I know some of you do, so don't even act like you're sitting there and being religious. Okay, so let me, and the ones that just laughed, I know you were the one right there. So then, let me ask it this way. How many believe that the enemy can just get in there and cause all kind of chaos in your communication with God? Okay. Yes, you'll actually raise your hand. I'm going to preach the greatest message to set you free of this, okay? Okay, two of you are excited about this. Come on, here we go. Because it's really been setting me free. It's kind of like you read the Bible and something you saw 18 years ago in Scripture and it did something to you. And then you read it 10 years ago and it did something in you. And you read it 5 years ago and it did something in you. And then you read it recently and you go, yes, God, I believe. See, that's the reason the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it cuts and it divides between bone and marrow, and it cuts between the division of unbelief and belief. That's how powerful the Word of God is, and that's the reason when I ask different ones of us, how much are you reading of the Word of God? And you go, well, I read it 3 days ago, and I read it about 2 minutes a day. Read it, even if it's just 2 minutes a day. Because what's amazing, what the revelation you'll get today of reading it, in 2 years from now, you'll read the Word and go, wow, I even understand it more. Because the Word is sharp, and it's cutting off the scales. And then what's really, really cool, then you can get, in my opinion, you can get to a place in life that you don't have to be spiritually blind a single day of your life. Because you're understanding the Word and you're understanding the one who is the living Word, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to go for it. Well, Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, the Word. And that we have your word and your Holy Spirit to truly cause us to have a lifestyle of walking with the one that's rich and famous. God, even as the TV push right now, 3D TV seems to be a huge deal. Lord, I believe that there's, when we really get infused with you, Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, there's 3D kingdom living and walking. So God, would you plug us in to you, Holy Spirit, and the Word, and would you cause us to walk and see things of the Spirit that we've never seen before? That we would walk and live in a way we've never walked and lived before. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 43, I'll give you a quick backdrop. This is in John. He's talking the story about John the Baptist has shown up. And then John the Baptist is going, he's the one because this is what God told me. And then when they hear this, two of John's boys at the time, Andrew and Philip, start following Jesus, who they would truly become two of the 12 original apostles. And so let's pick up in 1:43-50. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" That sounds like today's body of Christ, doesn't it? God wants to bless us with His Son, and we go, really, can God really do that to us and for us? "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. And I would pray that we would start living every day to come and see how amazing God really is. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel," and he's talking to Nathanael. "A man complete with integrity." Now remember, he didn't know anything. He thought, and what he did know, he didn't think that anything good, that Jesus really couldn't be that good coming from the hometown of Nazareth, kind of like coming from Hereford. You know, it's got some little glitches to it. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." So in other words, Jesus gives a word of knowledge. There was no way that when Nathanael was sitting under the tree, he was probably by himself and he was probably thinking, and as Philip found him, because again, that's what the story says, Philip comes and finds Nathanael. And all of a sudden, he's probably under the tree by himself, so he's thinking, how could this man know that I was sitting under this fig tree? See, that's the reason words of knowledge are so important. That's the reason ministry like today is so important. Ministry, as we gave some more prophetic words of ministry to the other two women of God, are so important, because what words of knowledge and prophecy and words of wisdom do of the things of the Spirit, it cuts down hours of counseling, months of counseling, and years of counseling. And that's the reason the devil is working night and day to keep you and I from being infused with the Spirit of God. Right? Just every now and then, just tell me, yeah, man, that's pretty good, Mike. I can go with that. Verse 49, then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you truly are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is in the stairway between heaven and earth." In the New King James Version, it says this. It's like Jesus is declaring, it's a whole new prophetic season. It says, "From hereafter, you will see heaven open and angels ascending and descending." And the word "hereafter" is a key word. Because you see, I believe that as men and women of God, as sons and daughters, what he is saying at that moment to Philip and Nathanael and to those that are there, from this moment right now, there is a prophetic season that the heavens are open for those who would know. And you will see the power of God ascending and descending in the form of angelic beings, but also in the form of words of knowledge and the things of the Spirit that could come to the sons and daughters of God. Do you believe this? No, church, we've really got to get this. Because you see, I'm believing that Harry Hines is going to be transformed by the power of God because sons and daughters really believe that God can move powerfully among prostitutes and men that are bound up in the bondage they are. Do you really believe the heavens are open over your life? Did you know you carry an open heaven every day over your life? If you're a son or daughter of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you carry an open heaven. I'm tired of hearing Christians talk about how the devil's doing this, devil's doing that. When you walk into a place, no, you bring an open heaven. We keep giving so much credit to the devil. Jesus hasn't even gone to the cross at this point. And he's saying, hey, guys, from hereafter, it's a new game. And you can know the lifestyle of walking with the one that is rich and is famous. Amen? Jesus says in John 14, 16 through 18, you don't have to turn there, but because I got to go quick today. I mean, Andrew and Wendy Kay went long on the ministry. I'm kidding. They could have gone longer because I don't mind preaching till 3. It's not football season. In September, we go back to being finished at 11:30. Being led by the one who's rich and famous, the lifestyle. Just kidding. Just having a little joshing fun here. So in John 14, 16 through 18, Jesus says, I must go away because this one, the Holy Spirit, can come and infuse you and empower you. And it's to your advantage. In other words, you're going to get advantage miles that American Airlines can't even give you. I'm going to give you an advantage miles that it also says in here, you'll never be an orphan, for I will not leave you an orphan. You talk about advantage miles, and you can get it in a moment's time. Now my Americans raised it to 50,000 miles I have to put in before I get advantage miles, really. God does it when you just say yes. And what's cool about God's advantage miles, I don't lose them. They don't expire. Come on, man, it's a pretty good message. I mean, that was worth another 10% in the offering bucket right there. Come on, you should be running up here to put it in. Kidding. If you're a guest, I apologize already to you that I may say a thing or two offend you. So I've already seen, I think one of them left already. Stephen, please don't leave, okay? I really enjoyed you playing the guitar. So all these things are promised that that God wants to bless you big time, and the heavens are open, and you can know the heart of the living God 24/7. Too many of us, last week, the reason I preached on thankfulness, I believe the way that you keep an open heaven over you is to be thankful. And like I shared last week, thankfulness is a choice. When I'm thankful, and then my wife pressed it this past week as she ran out of gas, and then another thing or two, and it's like, babe, do you not know how to check the gas gauge? I even texted her and said, you really trying to press me and be the main instrument used by God to really do this thankfulness thing? So she was. So she runs out of gas on Tuesday. Then she's going to a manicure pedicure with Celia, and she backs over the trash can, leaves trash everywhere. Babe, I got to go. You got to go pick up the nasty trash because the trash man's on the way there. So anyway, my wife was used by the Lord in the area of thankfulness in a good way. So don't come and knock over my trash can on Friday just to see if I'll be thankful. It's nasty picking up old carrots that are in gravy or whatever my wife put on them. But anyway, she's a great cook. I wasn't going to say that. I was going to let you fill in the blanks. So everybody does know. And if you didn't know, you do now. It was amazing that there was actually food in our trash can to be knocked over. It's true, yeah. See, as a family, you can preach like this, you know what I'm saying? All right, yeah, her nachos, yeah, her world-famous nachos. Literally, when the kids were 8, 9, and 10, that was their steady diet, nachos. And if we were really doing good, we got meat on it. But anyway. All right, all that to say, it's an opportunity to walk with the lifestyle of the one that's rich and famous. Let's turn to Acts 10. And this is a cool, cool story. This is a story of Cornelius and Peter. And Cornelius has spent years of giving and to the poor and praying to God. He's a Roman. He's a Gentile. He's not even of the covenant of the Jews yet. As of to this point in the kingdom of the season of the kingdom, Gentiles had not been able to become sons and daughters of the king. And so this is going on. And Peter, just as I shared earlier, just growing in the anointing in chapter 5 of Acts 5, his shadow is healing everybody that is coming in contact with. Everybody who needs deliverance is being delivered. I'm trying to get you to see Peter had issues just like you and I do. Remember at the walk to the cross, he curses out a young girl, denies Christ 3 times. And here all of a sudden his shadow's healing everything and everybody it's coming in contact with. You and I have that same honor and privilege to walk with God like that. So let's start with verse 1, chapter 10. In Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. Again, it's going to be an open heaven, what I read about from hereafter. Open heaven. Angels will ascend and descend and will have conversation with normal men and women of God. Remember, this guy's not even in covenant. He's not a Jew. He's a Roman soldier. And an angel comes up and shows up in his living room. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore." Church, I'm really wanting every one of us to really believe and remove these lids off of our life of bad theology. Bad theology that the devil can come and harass this perfect conduit of covenant that Jesus Christ cut with his blood and with his body for me to walk in this realm of intimacy with God. Here this angel shows up and he not only just tells Cornelius that, man, your prayers and offering God has heard for years. But now not only that, there's a man named Peter and he's in Joppa. And not only is he in Joppa, he's at Simon the Tanner's house. And oh, by the way, if you don't know where he is, he's down by the seashore. Church, we've dummied down the true reality and power of the kingdom of God because we're not seeing it in our own life. And I'm praying and believing that today, as we finish this service, that every bad theology and every bad lid of unbelief would be broken off of our life. And yeah, to even be so bold that some of us will have dreams and visions and encountering angels to hear strategies from God. Amen? Do you believe Hebrews when it says that God is the same yesterday, today, yesterday, and forever? Do you really believe that? I'm looking for an amen for those who, do you really believe that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever? Because you see, if we really do say that and we really do believe it, well, then we've got to start having some encounters with God's economy of heaven to earth as the Scripture talks about. You see, last week I talked about how the art of prayer is thankfulness. See, God's ready to paint his new artwork on new canvases, and you're his canvas. And he wants to paint new places of intimacy and encounters with him. I was reading an article by Bill Johnson, and he talks about how much of the American church only has encounters and intimacy with God on Sunday, and we call those people professional intimate people. I don't want to be a professional that I only encounter God on Sunday. Bill Johnson went on to say, he says, you know, we have a name for those who only encounter God in a professional way. They're either prostitutes or they're religious. And I don't want to be a spiritual prostitute, and I do not want to be known as a religious person. I want to be Monday through Sunday going after God with the same zeal and passion that we do here on Sunday. Amen? So, man, the angel gives the whole download, makes it easy. How many are tired of working so hard to barely get by, but you're doing it on your own strength when God wants to open up the economy of heaven and make your family successful, make your own physical body successful, make your business successful, make your city successful? It can happen. It's right here in Scripture. If you believe that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. So this is going on at Cornelius' house. Here's what's going on at Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, another form of encountering God. He saw the sky open. Remember open heavens? Jesus declared it's the prophetic season. From hereafter, the heavens will open. It's happening in Acts. You said you agreed with Hebrews. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. The sky opened, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, and kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared. "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have not declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. The rest of the story was the guys sent from Cornelius knocked on the door. They stayed the night that night. Peter and some of his buddies went back with them to Cornelius' house. Peter starts speaking about the Holy Spirit, about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit fell in Cornelius' house. And you and I sit here today, the fruit of that encounter right here in Acts, because as far as I know, none of us are Jewish of the Jewish folks. We're Gentiles. And because of this interaction with the economy of heaven to earth, many of us sit in churches. But you see, we're not having these kind of encounters. But I've been praying, and I'm ready for you and I to both start having these kind of encounters. I'm talking about words of knowledge that just like what happened today through Andrew and Wendy Kay and the words of knowledge that I gave to the two young ladies, that you guys would start moving in greater realms on Monday through Saturday, and that on Sunday would be the weakest of them all, if you will. But there would be great moves of God in here. But Monday through Saturday, we're doing it at our workplaces, when we visit Starbucks, when we go to Nordstrom or Walmart or wherever you go. Amen? So I just want to talk a little bit about my journey of the things of the Spirit, of really learning what it means to walk with the lifestyle of walking with the one that's rich and famous. Back 25 years, 26 years ago now, God intervened in mine and Celia's life. And I know you know all the story, most of the story on that, so I won't labor into that. But shortly after that, we were in a First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, and at the time, they didn't believe in the things of the Spirit. Well, I was fine with that because I had been brought up a good old Baptist and we didn't believe in the things of the Spirit like the book of Acts talks about. Some of you may come from that. See, you came from a Catholic denomination, so we were good to camp out there and just really have knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But not this risk-taking stuff that the things of the Spirit and the things of God can truly be, and what the life of Christ and the early church was really all about. About a year and a half into the church, our pastor started preaching a very weird message. And he started preaching out of James 5, 16 through 20. And he started telling everybody in the body that they needed to go to one of the elders, and that they were going to set up these nights that you went to the elders and you confessed every sin you ever committed. Because in James, it says that if you're sick, come and confess your sin to an elder, and if you're sick, you'll be made well. And it just didn't line up. And I mean, even though I hadn't asked the Holy Spirit to come upon me the way that the book of Acts, of where they're filled with the Holy Spirit, I did have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is not a message to talk about that theologically, but the fact that I was a son of God, I had a measure of the Holy Spirit. And as he speaks it, man, there's something wrong about this message. And out of the entire church of about 200 or so people, and not that we were all getting around gossiping or anything, but there was me and Celia and I and one other couple that had a problem with what they were doing. Because it just didn't line up with the scripture that says that when I come down and I ask Christ into my life, that he forgives all of my sins. And in Psalms it says that they're forgiven, forgotten as far as the east to the west. And he keeps pushing it, and he keeps pushing it. And we went to him because my dad trained me up not to go talk about a man behind his back, but to go meet him face to face and say, man, I don't understand why you're preaching this. I don't get it. And blah, 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 blah. 2 hour meeting later, seemed like it was a good meeting. It was going well. He looked at me and he says, Mike, if you and Celia can't agree to do this, you're going to need to leave the church. Yeah, that's what we thought. Wow. So we said, okay. Because we weren't going to be pushed because there's something wasn't right in the message. See, every one of us have a measure of discernment to the degree that you have the measure of the Holy Spirit. So we left. 6 weeks later, it came out that he was having an affair with about 5 ladies in the church. And I share all of that because God wants to release upon us a measure and anointing of the Holy Spirit that we truly know what is going on around us. Because you see, we've all been so dull of the things of God, and he wants to awaken our spirits up once again. So that we would truly know what's going on in our cities. We would truly know what's going on in our families. We would truly know what's going on in our cities. So that was one journey of the things of the Holy Spirit. Then as we got hired on, because when we left there, we went to the Nazarene Church. We did a lot of different cross-pollinating of different denominations and stuff. And as we were there, we were asked to become the full-time youth pastor at the Nazarene Church. And again, we were hungry for God, and I was reading Robert Laird's book and all the different Spirit-filled books that I could get my hands on in Hereford. And at this time, I get baptized with the Holy Spirit the way it happened in the book of Acts. And so now I'm really scary and spooky. Kidding, kidding, kidding. And in this particular time, the youth, we didn't go this particular night because there was something going on, but the youth go to Amarillo with some of the workers. We get a phone call from one of the workers. Now remember, all of you know me well enough. You know I'm not any kind of supernatural hero, right? It's just everyday people being led by the Holy Spirit. And in this time when they go off to Amarillo, I get a phone call from one of the workers, and they said about this one young girl. She said she's been beat up, and they said that she's been attacked in the bathroom, and she's got bruises all over her, Mike. And I really believe this was my first word of knowledge I'd ever had. It just came out of my mouth because, you see, it's like what Bill Johnson says, out of your intimacy with God will come the overflow. And it just came out of my mouth and goes, that's not what happened. She's done it to herself, and you need to go ask her and take her to the side and ask her what's up. Now, you'd have to know this beautiful lady. She was 16 at the time and one of the most prettiest teenage girls I'd ever met and seen in our life. And as the workers took her off to the side, they asked her and said, Mike said, that's not what happened. You did this to yourself. Now, I'm in Hereford. Amarillo's 40 miles away. No way I could know. It's the Spirit of God. She began confessing that she did do it to herself, that nobody had beat her up in the bathroom. Again, what I tell you, a word of knowledge from God can cut down hours, days, months, and years of counseling. In that process, we were able to minister to her. She had a lot of rejection on her. I looked at her Facebook this morning. She has 5 kids and doing wonderful at about the age of 32 or so. Isn't it hard to believe we youth pastored kids that are 32 now? I know, it wasn't that good of a story. It's good to see Darren and them back to Texas again. Then on February 20th at 2:05 in the morning, 1993, we're having the time of our life youth pastoring in Hereford. All of our family lives there. The Spirit of God wakes me up. February 20th, 1993 at 2:05 says, sell everything and move to Dallas and go to school at Christ for the Nation. I'd been awake for about 5 seconds, 10 seconds when God tells me that. And man, I literally started sweating and sweating and sweating and sweating, going, God, are you crazy? And then I tell God, there's no way I'm going to tell my wife for a few days until I work all this stuff out in me. And I tell her, because you see, we're enjoying our time there. I tell her, and 7 days later, she comes back to me and she says, it's God. We've got to go. You see, the Spirit of God really wants to take you and I on a journey that's going to be scary at times, but it's going to be real cool. It's going to be cool when we're laying hands and we really see Steve healed. And I point things out like that because I want to decree things when I speak. It's not to embarrass my sweet dear friend there, but that we would really decree that life is going to come into every area of every one of our lives. Then as we got here, we needed a job and needed money, and we got offered a job as a pastor at Red Oak and a pastor in Irving, and Sojourn started interviewing us about the same time that we got these 3 offers. And we needed money as we were being students at Christ for the Nation. And we would pray and we would fast. And at Red Oak, they were offering us a house to live in and help us with our school bill. Sounded like a good thing. And God said no to that, no to the one in Irving. And 3 months later, we finally got the job offer at Sojourn Church. You see, God wants to take you and I on a place where we really have to get out of our boat and press in to know Him. And to be led by the Holy Spirit, because it says in Romans that sons and daughters of the King are led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to finish out with just two last thing of examples and then close. And we're really going to pray about the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Probably 20 years ago, about 18 years ago, and I shared this story on Wednesday night. So if you're here, act like you enjoy it again. I was driving to church, and for 3 weeks straight, I drive by this same road, same way, and I see this sign that says, house for sale on Aberdeen, $349,000. And for 3 weeks, I drove by. We were living in a nice house over on Windsor, wasn't looking to move or buy or anything. And about that third week, God says, call that man and ask him to give you the house. Yeah, that's the look I had too. And I said, God, are you out of your mind? You know, it's good to have these kind of real, honest, open, conversations with God. And he says, no, I'm not. And call him. 3 days later, it's good to at least be obedient, even if it takes you a few days. I call him and I say, I'm Jack Graham from Prestonwood Church. I didn't say that, but I darn sure didn't tell him I was a pastor at Sojourn either. I said, this may sound very strange to you, because this sounds real strange to me. and I'm still trying to get it out just like him now. It said, I believe God talks, and he told me to tell you that you need to give me your house. And I did it really, really bad. And he says, well, I don't believe that's going to happen. Thank you for calling me. Click. And I hung up, embarrassed, red. I'm thinking, gosh, man, I must have sounded like an idiot to that guy. Because you see, if we really want to see people healed, if we really want to see Mardi Gras change, if we want to see Harry Hines transformed or our families, we're going to have to be willing to be obedient when the Spirit of God starts speaking to us. No matter how weird it may sound. But this story even gets more weird. About 2 weeks later, God says, call that man again. God, are you out of your mind again? He says, no, call him. It only took me one day, but it was a full 24 hours before I called this guy back. I said, hello, it's me again. The guy who asked you to give me your house. He probably thought I was calling him to shoot him a price. I says, I know it sounds strange, but God's told me to ask you to give me your house again. And he paused a lot longer than he did the first time. And he says, well, the answer's still no. I said, well, I appreciate your time. And about this time, C and I are going over to the house because it's always unlocked. He's showing it. We're falling in love with the house because we're going, okay, God, you're telling me to ask this guy to give us a house. Surely you're going to come through and all these different things. I mean, we're taking the kids over there. They're 8 and 10. Corey's getting in the guy's swimming pool. I mean, you know, we're already moving in. We got squatter rights on this deal. But I hang up, and about a week later, God says, call the man again. And it only took me a couple of hours. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us that we learn to navigate and do what he tells us to do. And I called him and I said, it's Mike again. I said, I just want to tell you, I'm just being obedient. God told me to call you and ask you to give me your house. Long pause. I'm figuring he's going to call the cops on me. And he says, you know, I figured out, I've been thinking a lot about these conversations, Mike, these phone calls. He said, I know what this is about. I'm still not going to give you my house. But he said, I've backslidden real bad with God. And he said, when I was a youth, I was going to go into ministry. And he starts telling me a 10-minute, and I just listen, a 10-minute conversation. And he said, really, Mike, these phone calls have made me realize I've got to get back right with God. I haven't been raising my children up in the things and the ways of God. And I want to get back plugged in. Mike, I wish I was financially well enough to give you that house for what these phone calls have really awakened in my spirit. And inside I'm thinking, well, I wish I could too, because I really have enjoyed your house and going over and swimming that you haven't known about. And I could tell you a bunch of other crazy stories like this. God's just looking for you and I to say yes. And I'm not saying to be wacky. But I'm just saying to be obedient, be led by the Holy Spirit in the depth and measure of love. It really is time to find that rooftop that Peter found to be with God. Whether that rooftop is your living room or whatever, we all have got to find that quiet and silent place to hear God, to start turning inward. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within. Too many of us are having conversations out here with God, and he's inside here in the measure of the Holy Spirit. You need to put your phone in the other room and quit doing Facebook for an hour and go get alone with God. And learn to start turning inward. I'm sorry I went too long on a couple of those first stories, because I've got to tell you this part. Probably 15 years ago, I read two books that were revolutionary for me. One was by Madame Guyon, and the other was by Father Lawrence. They were books that talked about learning to turn inward and allow God to get your heart ablaze. You see, we have conversations out here. We need to have them inside. Some of the greatest conversations and prayer times I have with God, I don't even verbalize. It's in here. And in closing, as I was mowing the yard this past week, or about a week ago, I'm mowing it and God says, I'm not praying, not at a prayer meeting. I was praying inside, having a conversation with God. God says, you know, you have it. And I said, because I think it was a day that I was kind of discouraged about, you know, God, where's Hope Fellowship at? You know, where are people, finances, our outreaches and different things. Anybody ever have those days with work, life, or different things? And as I'm mowing the yard, God just says, you know, you have it. I said, have what? He said, you have what Bill Johnson said. You're just not moving the way that he did, that I trained him to do. He says, you have your one. And I said, my one, you know, sometimes we're slow with what God's trying to take us to. He said, yeah, I remember when Bill said when half the church was leaving and he called everybody up who really wanted revival in the Spirit of God. He prayed for him. He said, one person fell over. He said, I told Bill, you have it. And he said, I started building from that. That's what Bill said. He said, I started building from the fact that we had it in one, the manifestation of one. And God says, you have it in the fact that after 8 years of trying of Jason and Coley, they have a baby in Coley's womb. From the prophetic intercession of Becky at home and to a word of Ron Campbell in many of your prayers. But then I started thinking this past week as the word is spoken over the sweet girl here about 3 months ago of her situation. Doctor said she couldn't get pregnant. She's pregnant. And I believe that we all have to get some bad lids off of us, bad theology. There is an open heaven over each and every one of us. And there is time for breakthrough. And there is time to see the fullness of God in everything. And over this last 7 days of what I preached on thankfulness, I've been moving and thanking God for everything, even miracles that we haven't seen yet. Do you believe that you walk under an open heaven? And do you believe that the same thing in the stories we just talked about in the Bible, you and I can move in? If you will, let's stand. I just want to pray over us, and I just want to be quiet for a moment or two, and then I want you to ask God what you want, what measure of the Spirit of God you want. The lids of bad theology you need to have broken off of your life. And then the risk to, and the excitement to walk with the lifestyle, with the one that is rich and famous with everything, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And then I'll pray over us. Oh, Father, we come to you and we say we repent of our unbelief and our lack of thankfulness. Because, Lord, as you've been showing me over the last 7 days, we have more than just two. For we've seen several miracles over this little journey. And the many, 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 many thousand more that we're going to see, we give you praise for already. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and remove every bad theology in our heart and in our minds. And we thank you from hereafter, we walk under an open heaven. Lord, the words and the stories we read about in the Bible, I thank you that there's going to be trances and visions and angelic visitations and strategies released to different people in this body. I thank you there's going to be new songs written. There's going to be new words of knowledge and prophecy, Lord, that's never been spoken before. New prayers that are going to shake buildings once again as it did in the book of Acts because of the depth of intimacy that you're going to stir in the hearts of your people here. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the ability and the opportunity and honor to walk with you, the one who can make life so much fun, not boring at all, and moving in a realm of spiritual 3D glasses of seeing your greatness released to society. So, Lord, we love you and we give you praise, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Since I've gone so long, and I apologize for that, Just really wanted to share. Next week, you're going to be blessed. I invite you to come. I know some of you are going to be going off on a little vacation or different things. But next week, we have the honor and privilege to host Dorothy Moore. They're actually going to bring about 10 to 15 people from Reconciliation Outreach next week. And she is the founder of Reconciliation Outreach. And it's going to be a fun, fun time. And it's a great opportunity to honor a mother in the city, because she's 82 years old, and what she has labored to see come forth in the inner city of Dallas is amazing. There's some books out there that you can get on the way out, totally take with you. It's called Lady in the Hood, and it's got some great, great stories. Yeah, Nancy's going to grab some for you. If you'd like to read it, and it's a good read, it'll tell you the story. And it's amazing how God called a woman from a very, very wealthy background to go to be among the poor. She was a woman who had slaves as servants, and then God's called her to go down there and serve the different ethnic groups that are down there. It's an amazing story of how God does those different things that He does. So, say, yeah, and what was really cool seeing, I talked about this week, she started when she was 57 or 58. You know, for us guys who are getting up there, it's never too late to jump in the game. Amen. Also, we have our regular men's. There will be no longer any Wednesday morning Bible study. We've moved everything to Friday night, and I'm going to be thankful for that, extra 30 minutes of sleep. So we've moved all of our men's. So this Friday night, we will have our men's meeting at 7 o'clock. Be here at 6:30 to eat, and going to be a great time there. But see, you'll send out the rest of the information and email. So anyway, let me bless you and speak a blessing over you, and it's a good Sunday. Well, Father, we thank You for Your goodness and greatness. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for how You love to bless Your sons and daughters. And we thank You for the opportunity to bless and honor You in everything. We love You. We give You praise. We exalt Your great name. And let the fact that our cities have been touched and transformed today with the power of Your presence, because we came today in agreement with Your presence and Your truth. Bless these precious people and their families, their workplace, their cities. Bless them spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and financially. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.